It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for April 24th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It was one of the biggest merger proposals in U.S. history, and now the Comcast-Time Warner cable deal is reportedly history. Comcast has been pushing to purchase Time Warner Cable for months. If it went through, the deal would put half of the country's internet customers and a third of its television customers under the same company. But regulators and others may have ended those ambitions, according to Bloomberg. An official confirmation could come today. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood joins me for more. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm well. So if there was a canary in a coal mine here, it would have to be the FCC recommending a hearing.
Absolutely. When the FCC recommends a hearing, it may sound benign to the rest of us, but I think to any company that wants to pull off a fast-moving business deal, it means that things are going to take a really long time. There's a good chance they're not going to go your way. It's going to be really expensive, and they're probably going to come up with demands that make the deal untenable for a lot of reasons, even if they allow it to go through.
Do you think that the terrible, awful, no good, very bad customer service reviews of these two companies had anything to do with this as well?
It is a non-trivial factor in these discussions that these are two of the most hated companies in America, and I'm not exaggerating. This is according to multiple surveys year after year. There were also concerns about content. I mean, there was a big discussion around how much Comcast was involved in conversations about the sale of Hulu, because of course, when Comcast bought NBC Universal, which a lot of people also objected to, one of the conditions was that they have nothing to do with Hulu, that they not be in conversations about content streaming. So there were concerns about how much content the combined entity would control, how much of the broadband internet infrastructure they would control, and then, yes, of course, how they would treat us consumers, which hasn't been great in the past.
Marketplace's senior technology correspondent, Molly Wood. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
As you know, Google got into the wireless service provider game this week. It's called Project Fi. You'll need a new Nexus 6 phone to take part in the beginning, in part because the company says the Nexus 6 can use a special SIM card that allows the user to hop from Wi-Fi to either Sprint or T-Mobile cell towers as they move around. Our friend Jonathan Zittrain at Harvard says Google's technology could help with traffic jams.
Why not have it be that you simply use whatever cell service is nearest to you and strongest, and even imagine load balancing among them so that if one gets overloaded, you can switch to the other.
Which would be theoretically good for everyone.
It very much could be. Talk about granular competition down to the second.
Another interesting part of the service is that it will let users budget out for the data they use and credit them on next month's bill if they don't use it all. Whether Project Fi will one day compete with the big dogs, we'll see. It's Silicon Tally time. Today, my guest is Fred Benenson. He's the data lead at Kickstarter, and we went to the crowdfunding company's offices in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, to play a special emoji edition. Fred Benenson is the data lead at Kickstarter. He's also the creator of an all-emoji translation of Moby Dick, the first all-emoji book to be acquired by the Library of Congress. Fred, are you ready to play the game where we try and stump each other this week with numbers from emoji tech news? Are you ready?
I am ready.
55% of emojis sent in France.
The heart.
Oh, this guy's pretty good. I'm a little bit scared.
When I found that stat, I was like, oh, that plays into this weird stereotype. It's kind of old stereotype of French people being romantic. So, you know, it works in their favor, I guess.
All right, what do you got for me?
Six.
Can you give me the unit of measure?
Color tone.
I haven't checked recently, but I'm going to guess that there are six racial color tones offered in emoji.
Indeed, it is the number of skin tones available for emoji based off of the Fitzpatrick Dermatology Scale.
That's cool. All right, I got another one for you. You ready? Double the average, as in the U.S. uses twice as many emoji from this food category as the average country.
Junk food? Or was that Canadians?
This is very, very, very close. The answer is, you know, of course, this is America, so meat.
Yes.
Good news is, in emoji world, there are a lot of options for vegans and for vegetarians.
In fact, there's no steak emoji, so I end up resorting to the cow a lot.
Which is good because then we remember where it came from.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what do you got for me?
14.8 million tweets with this emoji.
Man, I'm going to guess the fingernail, the painting of the fingernail? I don't know.
No, in fact, it is the poo emoji. And there have been 14.8 million tweets with the poo emoji since July 4th, 2013.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
The smiling poo emoji has a whole history, which you can get into. And it's
just, please do.
I think it means good luck in Japan. But every time I see it, all I can think about is that book, Everyone Poops, I think, a famous book for most people's childhood.
That's your next book that you should do.
At least we know one emoji will be literally translated well. I can't believe I'm talking about this on public radio.
Fred Benenson is the data lead at Kickstarter. He's also the creator of an all-emoji translation of Moby Dick, the first all-emoji book to be acquired by the Library of Congress. Fred, thank you so much for playing along.
It was a pleasure.
You can play a special listener version of Silicon Tally on our website at marketplacetech.org. And by the way, Kickstarter employees are allowed to host their own Kickstarter campaigns. Benenson has one going right now to build a translation algorithm that would turn English into emoji and emoji into English. I give that effort a smiley face and a thumbs up. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.